Welcome to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revitin Batren Grossman, a marriage coach for women in business. And my mission is to bring God's presence into your life, into your marriage, and into your business. Let's get started.
Welcome, everyone, to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revitin Batren Grossman, a marriage coach for women in business. And Charlene Hertz is with me today, and she is a styling coach. And I love Charlene. We met many, many, many years ago. A long time ago when you know, making friends virtually was like the first, you know, the beginning of virtual friends. And then we actually met.
It was the only way to make friends then.
Yes, it was the only way to make friends. And we kept in touch and we've been, you know, going back and forth. And then we finally met, which was very fun. So, Charlene, tell everyone why they should, you know you and what you are all about.
Well, I'm awesome. No, seriously. Why?
Why should you be serious?
I am serious sometimes. I'm not usually serious. My mission in life is for people to see the gift they are to the world. And that starts from seeing the gift you are to yourself. So sometimes it's just as simple as wearing the right clothes, finding the right colors, liking what you see in the mirror. And that's where I come in. I'm a big believer in change can begin from the outside in, from the feedback you get and how you relate to that feedback, can turn you into the person you want to be. And we all have that.
That's beautiful. So let's get into it. How does one find their style? How do you even begin to reach that, you know, perfect vision of where I want to be, or that's how I want to feel, or that's where I want to look?
I think most of us have at least one outfit that when we put it on, that's like, you get that big and you go out of the house and you don't think about it. You see yourself in the mirror, you're like, oh, this is me. And you walk out straighter, and it could be something you wear to an event, and it could be something you wear to the gym, but it clicks for you. Now, if you don't have something that clicks for you, that's really where I can help you. But if you do have that, then part of it is, let's see how we can bring that feeling to everything you have in your closet. And I very often start in people's closets, and I start by making them get rid of most of what they have in their closet, because we hold on to things because I bought this, I spent the money on it, I wore it once. No, it doesn't work, but my ultimate goal is to have you have everything in your closet speak to you. And speak to finding your style is a lot about also finding, what are your power words? What words call you? What lights you up? How would somebody else describe you that you wouldn't say about yourself? But when you hear it, you're like, that's me, but never dare say that about myself. But that's who you are. The coaching is, you are who people see you as, not that conversation you have in your head about, you know, well, I raised my hand in first grade and I said the wrong answer, so I'm not going to stay in trouble again.
Yeah, right.
That first boyfriend broke my heart, so now I'm going to be careful in every relationship I get into. You know, these are stories that we pile on and pile on and pile on and make us smaller and smaller. And that's not who we are.
Right. Totally. I agree. I love that you say your stuff has to speak to you and it has to speak to itself. What is that?
There's a certain amount of harmony that, well, speaking to you is, you know, I love this item. It looks great on me. Okay. I would think most of us have maybe three or four things that work that way. Some people don't have anything. But you want to walk into your closet and not feel like, oh my God, I have nothing to wear. This doesn't work with this, and this doesn't work with this, and this doesn't work with this. I usually recommend that people, you know, for those of us who like to shop, before you buy something, make sure you know what it looks within your wardrobe.
Right.
Colors that harmonize. I personally tend towards greens and blues. And I have clothes from 20 years ago that work with the brand new outfit. The brand new skirt I'll bring in today. There's a harmony. It's okay. Everything meshes with everything else. And I'm not saying you need to wear loud, bright colors. And I'm not saying you need to only wear neutrals. But you want to have basics that, you know, anything you bring in will work with it. And that makes getting up in the morning, getting dressed that much easier. Why should you have to think about what you need to wear? Why should that be even a conversation you have in your head that you spend half an hour figuring out what goes with what? And does this work? And I'm on my fat stage. I can't wear that. And
so there you said something really important that I want to double tap into. My fat stage, or, you know, I'm waiting to lose weight or whatever. It's like, who says, you know, this present way your body is deserves less love than, you know, the next stage or whatever. I want to feel good in every stage, you know, and I actually love being pregnant because I get to wear all these cute outfits with like a belly, you know. I love dresses, and a lot of my pregnancy stuff is dresses. And then when I started nursing, I realized, oh, I can't wear dresses.
Can't wear a dress.
Yeah. And I really was so frustrated by that. And then I found with my pregnancies and with my stages, I found the types of dresses that I can wear, you know, the ones that are like V-neck, and then I can figure it out from the top and not from the bottom. I love it now. And it's, you know, and then a couple of years ago, I was working with Rebecca Saltzman. I still work with her, but a couple of years ago, I went through my closet and I took out 7 bags of clothes, like garbage bags, 7 garbage bags. It felt so good. And I was only able to do it when I finally committed to wearing dresses. Like, I love wearing dresses. I wear dresses almost every day. Why do I have all this other stuff clogging up my space? And that really is very freeing.
Yeah. And now it's, you don't need to have a lot of clothes if you love everything you have in your house.
Right. Right. And also, we do laundry so often that you have your clothes ready almost instantly.
Instantly. We are really, we live in a time, and I'm dating myself a lot, where, you know, there was a time where women had, you know, they had 3 dresses. One was in the laundry, one was, you know, and one they wore, and that was it. And they were rotating, and you extended the time because laundry was expensive and it ruined your clothes and you needed to keep what you had. We live in a time where we live in a time of abundance. But on the other hand, we don't need to rely on the fact that everything is so accessible mean that we need to shop and overshop and overshop and just add to the contribution of the textile industry polluting our world.
Yes. So would you say, you know, because here's the thing. I'm in this loop, especially with my teenagers. I have, thank God, 3 teenagers and 1 on the way. All the other ones are little. They're still considered kids. But my 4 top girls, they're, you know, they walk into their closet and they say, I have nothing to wear. And I really believe them. I really believe them because they have. It's so, you know, I see what they're coming out with and I'm like, oh, that does work. But it doesn't actually with this shirt. Okay, with the skirt, you know. And like you're saying, the stuff doesn't talk to each other. And when I tell them, okay, so like I have one of my girls, she loves to hold on to everything. And because she's the 4th one, she's getting all the hand-me-downs and she loves her sister's clothes. So she will never give up anything in her closet, and her closet is exploding. Mm-hmm. And of course, she has 2 drawers. Okay. That's how much room we have in the house for her. So she says she needs clothes, but I'm not willing to buy her clothes until she gets rid of some clothes. And then it's like a loop. How do you get out of the loop? Where do you cut it? Do you first shop and then get rid of everything else? Or do you first get rid of everything and then shop?
I prefer to get rid of everything and then shop. Well, get rid of most and then shop. And it's not get rid of. You want to look at the clothes. If they're stained, if there's a hole, if they're not picked, why are you keeping that? You're not going to look your best. As much as you love that piece of clothing, it's not going to look good on you. So you look for stains, you look for ribs, you look for seams that are opening up. Just that. You start simple. You try it on. You see if you can make it work with other things in your closet. If you can't, move it on. give it away. There's so many people who need these things.
Right.
You know, there are so many. It's not, you're not throwing it out. You're giving it to somebody who needs it.
Oh, I love that. Such a change in perspective. And here we have a secondhand store, and it really is like a store. And then afterwards, people are wearing, you know, the clothes, and you walk by them, you're like, I'm so happy someone is using it. And she's using it so fabulously. You know, in my closet, I was just sitting, getting old and not doing anything. And yeah, she's enjoying it.
Yeah, I love that. I do that a lot. I have a, you know, one thing in, one thing out policy. If I'm going to buy something new, well, first of all, I like to make sure that, you know, I don't have something that's exactly like that. But if I have something like that, that's a little older, that goes out. If I'm bringing in a pair of pants, you know, I'm always looking to see what I can swap out with. So my closet space doesn't overflow. And, you know, unlike you, I love to shop. So sometimes I just kind of go overboard and I give them away. I see people on my issue all the time wearing clothes that were mine. And I love it. It's like, oh, I haven't worn that. And look, she's still wearing it 3 years later. There is to be able to, it's a gift you can give, and it's easy because, and for me, it, you know, feeds into my shopping and things like, can't wear this, somebody else will, and I move it out.
I love that. Let's talk about accessories. What do you think is, your face just lit up. Oh, I love it. Guys, the word accessory around Charlene. See how she lights up.
It's the easiest way to upgrade an outfit. You know, a lot of us, all of us, I'm going to say we get stuck. I'm going to say except you, because I've never seen you in black, actually. But we get stuck in neutrals. We get stuck in black. It's safe.
This is my neutral. You're looking at neutral.
You're purple.
Purple, the dark purple, the burgundy. These are my neutrals.
This is actually my neutral. My neutral is Hunter Gray. But, you know, one of the most elegant ways to dress and just make it pop is to go monochromatic. Wear all your neutrals and put on a fabulous scarf. Put on a hat. Put on earrings. If you wear earrings, do something. It's just a little pop of color to your black or your beige or your purple. I'm looking at your necklace. Like, I can barely see it. We made that necklace. We did. The Rebbitson had a wonderful mini retreat, and we made necklaces in the colors of our choice that brought together all sorts of spirituality, which was a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. And we walked away with something, with an accessory. So for me, it was perfect.
I loved it. So fun. It was so fun. The meditation was so.
The meditation was awesome. Well, the meditation, which was all about accessories, was about stringing beads.
Yes, but it was about relaxing yourself. It was so fun to do.
Aligning yourself with the above. And I think when we dress, we want to do that. We want to align ourselves with ourselves. You know, when you put something on your body, you want a validation. You want say, this works. This makes me feel good. This makes me feel like me. We don't always know who that me is. Sorry, my head is making me nuts. I'm just going to shake that. A lot of what I do is helping you find who that me is. And then we can align everything else with it.
And
you have a wonderful analogy about a crowded closet and giving it up to Hashem. Which really speaks to, because when we have clutter anywhere in our lives, it's a disruptive.
Disruptor.
Thank you. It prevents us from being who we are and being where we want to be. And sometimes it's giving it up to God, and sometimes it's, you know, giving it to a secondhand store. clearing your space, making your space work for you. And part of making your space work for you is, especially when we do stuff on Zoom, where we're, you know, we all have mirrors, unfortunately, sometimes. But you catch that glance, and does it make you feel better? Does it make you feel more like you? And how do you feel when you get up? You know, you get up in the morning, you make your bed, you walk into your closet. Does it make it easier for you? Or does it create more stress? And why do you need stress first thing in the morning? Like there, right there in your face first thing in the morning.
Right. And you know, it's so easy to say and to understand in your mind, but until you do it, you do not actually get it. You know, I know it's good for me and I'm in, you know, in that decluttering mode and constantly going through stuff, right? I'm going through the books and I'm going through the clothes. And it's like, it's one of the things that I am doing intentionally. And yet every time I have resistance around it, I'm like, ah, do I have to? It's fine the way it is. It's not bothering me. I like clutter. I'm an artist. I need stuff around. Like I'll come up with every excuse in the book, everything. I just want not to do it. But then
you want to do your other stuff. You want to do the stuff that's important. And I'm not saying what you're doing is not important. Right. But in order, you need to create the space for that.
Exactly. So it's only after I am done that I appreciate how much I needed it. And I think that's also why it's so good to have coaches and people around you who are supporting you, because if they didn't see the result for you, then you won't see it for yourself. Sometimes you don't even have the ability to imagine how powerful the process will be for you. Okay, let's get to how this impacts your business, how this impacts your marriage.
Oh, well, in terms of it impacting my marriage, you're going to laugh at this one. It creates more space for my husband to make a mess. And while it makes me nuts, I think there is a space there. You're creating space for somebody else.
Right.
When you move your stuff, not moving it out of the way, I'm organizing it. I know where my things are. I'm really clear what my space is. It makes space for somebody else.
Right.
And I'm actually in an unusual situation. Now my husband has moved back to the States and we're, you know, I go to his house and now I have to make space. I have to find my space in his house and he comes back here for the hugging and I'm like, I have to deal with there's this person in my space again. But there's a dance there that goes on. And when you know, it's like when you have a strong partner or when you are the strong partner, there's a lot of room for the other person to grow.
Yes. Yes. I think also that you just brought something so powerful into the conversation. When you are stable and you're not reactive, then the other person has room to wiggle and find their space. Because if you feel like everything you do is going to create a reaction, then you're afraid to, you know, let go of your stance. Like, I'm here. I took this space. If I just move a little bit, he has to take it over. Like, I need that, you know, ability. So you can do that for someone else by becoming the stable one, by becoming the grounded one, which is so powerful. And it usually happens in the mastermind. When people join the mastermind, first thing is like there's this groundedness. You become the person that you want to be. And like within the first 3 months, your husband starts to join, right? Like at first they ridicule you and then afterwards they come and join you. Like, oh, I like this version of you. What did you do? What happened? How did you do it? Do it too? And that's when it starts really coming alive.
It's that's so when things fall into place. And that's what marriage is about. Right. Well, and I think when you cite that, because we get stuck in all the everyday stuff.
Yes. Again, you know, it's the resistance around not wanting to declutter, not wanting to do the work, not wanting to get into something that is quote unquote working. Like it's working. It's fine. Right. It's fine. So I don't need to touch it. And it's like, no.
It's fine. It's fine. It's deadly.
Yes. Fine is not fine. Okay. It's not okay.
Fine. Not moving forward is you're not standing still. You're moving back.
Right. You know, what the Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim says a lot is that if you are if you think things are staying still, you have to realize things are deteriorating all the time. So if you're not being intentional about moving forward, you are letting bad things happen and you're deteriorating, you know, along the way. So it's so important. And I love that you said that. Yes. Fine is not fine.
Yeah.
How can a woman expect this, you know, finding her style, figuring out what to wear, dressing her, you know, her like herself or for herself? How can she expect this to affect her and her business and her marriage?
Wow. When you love yourself and you're confident in who you are, you should. You can, you know, I want to buy, be it a service or product, from somebody who is confident and sure of what, you know, believes in what she's selling and believes in herself. Otherwise, why should I believe in that product or service?
Right.
You know, you can be smart and wonderful and witty, but if you don't feel that, people feel it. People feel there's a word in Hebrew, and I don't know how to translate it. Mizuyah.
Oh, like fake.
They feel the inauthenticity. They react to that, and they won't buy from them.
Right. I'm all into that. Authenticity is one of my words. I love it. I love that we could just be ourselves. You know, I have to tell people the behind the scenes a little bit. I did the mini retreat in my house, and one of my friends called me and said, "You're doing it in your house? I would never let people into my house. They're going to see all my mess. They're going to see." And you don't even have, you know, you're not all like perfect house person. How are you letting people into your house? Like, oh, I bet they're expecting to walk into a museum. They're probably going to be really disappointed with the fact that I have 7 kids, you know, and like my house is a living place, you know. Like, why would I not let you into my house? I think it was one of the best, most intimate experiences we've had, you know, as a collective. Getting together in person. I love in-person things. By the way, we're doing one in New Jersey in March, so stay tuned. But that whole, you know, like trying to keep people out of your space so they don't find out what your mess actually looks like is such a not authentic way to live.
No, it's a terrible, it makes you small. It makes your space smaller. It makes who you are smaller, you know? This is who I am. You know, my house is, you don't want to know. My friends feel better about their houses when they come to visit me, put it that way. But it's a home. You walk in, there's a sense of, you know, I loved your house. I love the fact that it wasn't mituktuk, that everything wasn't exactly in its place. It's lived in. It's a place to live. It's a place to expand and enjoy. And you know, I'm sure you had like one or, you know, like, I'm going to say, I'm putting this on you. My house is clean and neat for 2 hours a week. An hour before, like,
I'm giving my
it. I don't care after that.
My house is clean, always clean. It's always clean because it's really important here. But it's neat and organized, you know, before Shabbos every single week. And it being, you know, decluttered on a weekly basis. So it's fun to watch the process. And it reminds me that there is no destination. There is no result. Because living in it, you know, in the beginning, I just wanted to close my eyes, open them back up, and my house will look different. So everything will have a place. Everything will look exactly as it needs to be. And everything is just going to be, you know, perfect. And I realized with this process I'm going through that it's not going to be like that, you know? And even if I get it to be perfect, I wish people on Instagram would show the designed space and then the after, as opposed to the opposite, right? Because people are like, before, this was a mess. It was white. It was ugly. And after, we painted it blue and, you know, this perfect egg color, and everybody is so, you know, happy and go lucky whenever there's fresh flowers. But a couple of days later, the fresh flowers died. What did you
That's
do
what
then?
I want to see. I want to see the week later.
Exactly. I want to see the before and after of the other way, you know, and
yeah,
make it more real for us to know this is not some magazine or picture or thing that doesn't live. This is a living organism. Like it's an atmosphere of everything that's going on.
No, I think you had it when you said this is a living organism.
Yes.
This is where we live. This is what informs who we are in the morning. This is, you know, this is who we be.
Great. So let's get practical. What is step one? A person's listening to this. They're going, oh my gosh, I so much want to just feel like myself. I want to find my colors. I want to know what I'm about. What is step one? What's the question someone should ask themselves or the thing that they should start with?
Oh, I have three questions I want people to ask themselves. How do you see yourself? How do you want to be seen? And how do people see you? What is that one word? I said this earlier. What is that thing they describe you as that you would never dare to say about yourself? When they say it, you're like, yes, that's it. And I want you to take those three words and I want you to put them together and look at it. And the coaching is, that's who you are. And that gives you space to take on anything.
Nice. Okay, now I need to do it for myself. And I'm thinking, what was the first question?
How do you see yourself?
How do I see myself? I see myself as aligned and connected. Are those good words?
Yeah,
connected for real, people. It's my business.
Okay, how do you want to be seen?
I want to be seen as confident.
Okay.
I mean, I think I am. I want people to see that.
So we have aligned, connected, and confidence. What do people say about you? That, you know, it gives you that, but yeah, that's true.
What do you think people say about me?
That's so important, what I think.
Is it important that you have to guess what other people are saying about you? Or is it that you should actually go and look for what people say?
I like doing this with kitchen friends. So they actually ask me. We do it in a small group or have people come back to me and ask. But I see you as focused, organized, and spiritual.
Oh, that's beautiful. I like that.
Those would be my words for you.
That's very cool. Okay, so now
we put that all together. So you have aligned, connected, confident, focused, spiritual,
organized.
Okay. Now, you probably don't see yourself as so organized.
You know what's funny? I did a lot of work on organized because it's, you know, it's one of those spiral things that you work on it and then it comes back in the next level up. And so I'm always working on the next level of organization. But I think I'm one of the most organized people I know in all of, you know, and definitely in within the business people, right? Like I teach my mastermind how to get organized because I had to go through it.
Right.
And then, you know, on my home front, I'm organized, you know, more than other people, like in the fact that I am intentional. Like I see patterns and I'm intentional about what's coming so that I don't have to feel like a chicken without a head. But I, as a perfectionist, I never think I'm perfectly organized. So yes, I don't think of it as myself, but it's fun to hear from others.
You don't see it as yourself. You actually, I mean, I look at your colors. I love you in the purples. I don't like you in the browns. Sorry to say, I saw you.
I don't have browns.
Beiges and browns. The dress you wore at the retreat were not your colors.
I can't remember what I wore. So, okay, I'll go look back.
But I like the colors that bring life to you. The purples speak to you. There's a reason why purple speaks to you. Okay, purple is royalty. It is a combination of red and blue. So you have the strength of the red, fieriness of the red, tempered by the blue. Blue is very stable. It's stable. It's grounding. It's trustworthy. So when you put all that together, it really defines who you are. And probably why you're drawn so much to the purples.
Yes, I totally am. I also am like, but you said, you know, the reds and the blues and then the purple in the middle. I also am drawn to the blues and to the burgundies, like that whole family of colors.
But it's that family of colors. But you're not drawn to a true red. A burgundy is a bluish red.
Right. Correct.
So and blue really defines who you are in business. It's the organization. It's the connectedness.
Right.
It's all God. Blue and, you know, sky and sea and God and power and trust.
Right. I love this. I love the psychology of color. When I was a graphic designer, I worked with it all the time because it is something that you have to lean into all the time. And I love how it comes back here and what you're wearing and what your branding is like.
It's I've always been drawn to color. And I think we all are, and we're just a little scared of it.
Right.
But that's another question I always ask, what color lights you up? What color, when you see it, just makes you feel great? And not everybody can wear every shade. For people who know me well, I'm anti-yellow. I hate yellow. Because it's really hard, but that's completely a personal bias. There's some people that look fabulous in yellow, but it's the right yellow and it's the right blue and it's the right green. You're really good in those muted colors. I would look dead in the colors you're wearing.
Right.
Even I couldn't put on enough makeup to wear the colors that you're wearing. But there are purples that I can wear.
Right.
And it's a matter, that's where you need somebody to come in and say, okay, that's great. That's not, don't wear that. You can wear the cooler colors. You can wear the warmer colors. There's a spectrum that we need to deal with, but that's play.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be able to also play with it and not be so rigid with it, which I like. I love parts. What?
Yeah, it's the whole thing. I bought my first pink sweater in like forever. I'm like, I don't wear pink. And I have four boys. I've bought pink at every pregnancy. I don't wear pink. And I found this fuchsia, orangey fuchsia color that just was like, well, look, I can wear. This is the pink I can wear.
Right. Right. The pink that's more orange.
It's a touch more orange. It's not salmon. It's really, there's a very special little light.
Yeah. I know. I love
greens.
Yes. Yes, it does. That's so awesome. Okay, now you have to send us a picture of this orange sweater. All right.
Pink. I gotta go back upstairs. It's pink. It's more pink. It's just gonna... I'll send you a picture.
Okay, so let's talk about how can people get in touch with you? How would you like them to work with you? Because people are listening being like, I want that. I want someone to come into my closet and empty it all out for me and tell me what to wear and then shop for me and then, make me all adult and, put together.
Well, the easiest way to get in touch with me is through my website. I offer a 30-minute free consultation, and then we can see where we want to go from there. I also do workshops. I love one of the things I just did. It was so much fun. I worked with a bunch of bat mitzvah girls. I worked with a bunch of 12-year-old girls. We did a workshop. We talked about style. I brought heels so they could, heels and colors. And it's just, can you imagine if you were that age and you really knew what worked for you? And does that mean it'll work for you for the rest of your life? No, but you have the tools to take with me. I do workshops for adults, obviously. I start with the three questions and then we talk about color and style and simple things like, you know, what's the right length to make me look a little slimmer? I want to hide this. I want to feel better about myself. What will work? You know, it's sleeve lengths and third pieces and all sorts of, is so much. There's so many easy little tips that can just take you from blah to, well, I feel so much better.
Right.
So I do that in person. I do that. And but my favorite thing is to work one-on-one on people, one-on-one with people, because I think people are amazing and I want them to see how amazing they are.
Yes, 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 yes. Everyone should call Charlene. She is so much fun to be around. That's just how it is. You can't run around with it. It's just so, so fun. Charlene, there is a marriage breakthrough retreat starting next week. I know. It's my 8th one, and I'm so excited about it. You have been at one of the earliest ones. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
Yes. So tell our listeners that they should really sign up.
There you go. There is really something special about spending time with my head.
Aww.
She provides a space and a clearing for you to get your head on straight. And I think just for that, even if you don't apply it to your marriage, which we all do that. Even those of us who have been married for a long time and don't want to admit to it. She's always perfect.
One of the things I love is that I have a lot of women who are married more than 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and some even more, right? I have some 60-year-olds working with me. And I love it because I love making you stop and think like, oh, get out of automatic and start being intentional. And it changes everything. It really does.
Yeah. Intentionality. It's also, you know, it's what we were saying before, you know, it's fine. It's not fine. Fine is a four-letter word. Sorry. If we're not moving forward, if we're not improving, if we're not building a relationship, then we're going backwards and we're stagnating or getting stuck in a loop. And it's fun. Why should be fun and alive and exciting every day? It's only have a cup of coffee and talk about, I don't know, the sunrise. You're up that early. But the colors, what do you want to do? Where do you want to head? What's the next step? And it's really hard to do that for yourself.
Yeah.
It's really, especially I've married 25 years. It's hard. It's like I get on the phone with my husband. It's like, what's new? Nothing's going. It's rote. Stop spinning. Why are we doing this?
Right. Well, if you come to the marriage breakthrough retreat, you are going to get 7 full days, not full days. It's an hour a day. Okay. But it's an hour a day for 7 days. And on each day, we address a different part of the roadmap to how to get to a place where you're intentional and you're making decisions based on where you want to be and not based on where you are, which I think is one of the most important parts.
Yeah. And I'm going to be there.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Yep. I have arranged things to be there. Even though I'm going to be.
I'm so excited. It's going to be, so first of all, connectedforreal.com/retreat. It's going to be starting on February 13th. And we have 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then we take a break for Friday and Shabbos. And then we go back Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. The first 4 days are the calm method. And we go really deep into it so that you can get really, really. The word is breakthrough. That's where we're going. Okay. So we're going to get a breakthrough in your marriage. And then afterwards, after the break, I want to really, really address some hot topics. So day 5 is intimacy. Day 6 is the atmosphere in your home, which we just spoke about a little bit. The home is, you know, you can't think straight when your house is screaming, yelling, running around, things are on fire, nothing. Not, you have to really take a minute and we do it live. We actually create that order. There's my organizational skills. There you go. I just found them. You create order within yourself to create order within your house. And we do that on day 6. And then day 7 is bringing it all together. I went like that because Charlene just disappeared. And I'm sure she'll be back in a minute. She probably lost internet. Let me thank Charlene, even though she's not here, because I love having her in my life. It is so much fun that she is here. She is. She's back. One second.
I was just planning up the retreat. Wanted to make sure that I got that.
You lost us so you could sign up for the retreat. I thought you had a power outage. So yeah, I was telling them that I want to thank you because you are such an awesome person to have in everyone's life. Well, in my life, I really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing everyone at the retreat because it is going to be that much better. Every single time I think, oh my gosh, this was the best ever. And then I tweak it and I make it even better the next time. So this is the 8th one. And I'm very excited about it because it just means that it's that much more powerful. Because I am growing and I'm developing and you just can't stay on the level of 4 years ago when you're here. You know, it's so dynamic. It's also why I chose to make it live, because you don't get a different version of me. You get, you know, what you see is what you get. Part of my authenticity. So, yeah. Charlene, any last words of encouragement?
Encouragement. This is fun. This was really great. So first of all, thank you, Bethany. This was amazing. Last words of your coach. It's what they're pretty color. You know, it's get out there and be yourself, because people love you for who you are, not for who you pretend to be.
Oh, I love that. We should put that on a t-shirt. So beautiful. People love you for who you are, not for who you pretend to be. I love it. Thank you so much, Charlene. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next time. And don't forget to sign up for the Married Breakthrough Retreat, happening very, very soon. Love you. Thank you for coming.
Love you.
And that's it. Thank you for listening to the very end. I would love if you can leave a review and subscribe to the podcast. Those are things that tell the algorithm this is a good podcast, and make sure to suggest it to others. Wouldn't it be amazing if more people became more connected for real? And now take a moment and think of someone who might benefit from this episode. Can you share it with them? I am Revitin Batren Grossman from connectedforreal.com. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget, you can be connected for real.